Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, let's introduce the book. So, our author is Nehemiah. Nehemiah will return to the land and will become there a civil leader. He'll be called the Tirshatha, which is a title meaning governor. And so Nehemiah will return, and he will become a civil authority there. He will labor alongside Ezra. He and Ezra will labor side by side. Although Nehemiah went back to the land of promise some 12 to 13 years after Ezra went. So he did not go at the same time Ezra went. This is 12 or 13 years later. We will remember that in the days of Haggai, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, and Joshua, in the sixth chapter of the book of Ezra, as we read there, that the temple was rebuilt. So what Nehemiah finds in his investigation here at the, as we introduce this book, is that while the temple has been rebuilt, the walls and the city of Jerusalem itself still lay in ruins. There's still much by way of debris in the streets. There'll be a night when Nehemiah goes out after he arrives, and he'll get on a donkey and he'll try to ride through the city. And he can't ride through the city because the debris is still there, even after these 70 or so years, more than 70 years. So it's been torn down, and it has not been rebuilt at all. The temple has, but the city itself still lies in ruins. So his name means one who is comforted of Jehovah. He also is an official in Babylon. He is the king's cupbearer. The king's cupbearer, right? So he is a trusted official. What does it mean to be the king's cupbearer? Well, that means that you had to be trusted not to poison the king. That you bore the cup to the king, sometimes having to take a sip out of it yourself before you gave it to the king to make sure that it was safe for him. So very close official to the king, a trusted official, one who held the king's life in protection. The date here is late 5th century BC, a contemporary, though later than Ezra, 12 to 14 years behind Ezra and his trip to Jerusalem. The purpose of the book is to comfort the people of God regarding his faithfulness to his people even after the exile and the fulfillment of his promise to bring them back to their ancient land after his judgment and chastisement was exhausted. That the Lord does chastise, but he will not keep his anger forever. That's what the book of Nehemiah is about. It's about the restoration. So as an outline for the book, we have basically two parts. Chapters 1 through 7 speaks about the restoration of the city walls. We have the stuff that goes on in Babylon in the month Kislev. That's around December of the year. And then chapters 3 through 6, the rebuilding of the city walls. And then chapter 7, he now gives to his brother Hanani and to Hananiah the charge over the city. And then there's a list of the people that did return from Babylon. So then we have 8 through 13, the second part, and these are the reforms that Ezra and Nehemiah put into place in Jerusalem. So chapter 8 through chapter 10, we have the renewal of the covenant. Chapter 11, we have the list of those who dwell in Jerusalem. Chapter 12, a list of the priests. Chapter 13, the walls are dedicated. And then the people also are supportive of the priests. And then we have Nehemiah visiting in the closing chapter a second time and what happens there, especially regarding the Sabbath day in chapter 13. So that's the outline of the book. Let's go ahead and dive in to our chapter here. In the first section, then, that's verses 1 through 4, he has a concern for his people. He asks about those who have returned from the captivity. He is concerned about the true religion and the worship of God as it's going on back home. And the report that he receives from those who have recently come from Jerusalem is that there is much distress for the people of God that are there. Yes, the temple has been built. We remember that it has been built during some times of great difficulty, persecution, subterfuge, and all kinds of things. We'll see that that goes on, by the way, in the book of Nehemiah, pertaining to the building of the wall in the city. The same kind of subterfuge, trickery. If they can in any way keep it from being built, they will. Let's take from that that the enemy of our souls desires to hinder the building of Zion in any way that he can. And he will be about that work all the time. Then we also note he responds to that report in that he sits down, he weeps, he prays, he fasts, and he asks the Lord for mercy for the city. He realizes that he is in a position to be of help, doesn't he? This is the important portion, is that when he prays to the Lord, he humbly addresses the God of heaven, and note what he does. He does not say, after we have returned to the land, we have all of these enemies, and we just want deliverance from the enemies. We don't want there to be any distress anymore. You've obviously been favorable to us, but the people of the land are against that favor, and no, it's not a complaint at all. What Nehemiah realizes is they are still distressed because they are still sinning against the Lord. And there are several reforms that he will put into place after he gets back. And so we understand that his prayer is not a complaint. It is a confession of sin. It's a confession of sin, beloved. When we are met with any difficulty, then, Let us not cry out with complaint. Let us ask the Lord, Lord, what would you teach us in these things? What would we learn about our souls in this affliction and in this difficulty? So he reminds the Lord of his promises. He quotes from, I think it's Leviticus 19. Let's see, I thought I put it in my notes. I'm sorry, it's Leviticus 26, verses 39 through 42. He quotes from Leviticus 26, recognizing that the Lord will restore them when they turn to him. Notice he prays, I beseech thee. This is that pleading with the Lord, a humble kind of address, coming to God with nothing to offer. And it adds urgency to his prayer. Then we note that the strength of his request, in that it is accompanied with fasting, it is urgent and continual. It is importunate. It's said day and night that he prayed. It relies upon the word and promises of the Lord. It is accompanied by confession of sin. And note that he does not blame the reproach of the Israelites on their enemies, but on themselves. This is a model for us, beloved. This is a good example. When you're wondering, how do I pray? Children, you want to learn how to pray? Use prayers like this of Scripture to help you to learn how rightly to pray. The substance of his prayer was a personal and corporate confession of sin. Note that there are particularities attached to his confession of sins. He confesses particular sins particularly, just like we say in our confession of faith. He uses the Scripture to identify his sins. He quotes from Leviticus 26. He uses the Scripture to identify the promises and mercy of God, and he asks the Lord based upon his word. All of those things are wonderful examples for us to learn how to pray. And then finally, he has one specific request, and in this, he puts feet to his prayers. O Lord, give me favor in the eyes of this man. This man being the king, for I was the king's cupbearer, is how he ends. And so, suddenly, he announces to us, by way of implication, what his plan is. He has prayed, and now he wants to be a part of the answer, or as we say around here, he's putting feet to his prayers, by seeking to go and minister to the saints that are in Jerusalem and build up the wall. He will ask the king for that in the next chapter. And of course, we already know the answer because we've read this before. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising.